And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. This is your host, Mark Gillar. My guest today is J.T. Hatter. He is the author of a new book called Lost in Zombieland, The Rise of President Zero. J.T., welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here with you, Mark.
Now, as a first-time visitor to the show, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm very much an average American citizen, middle class. I've got a professional career. I'm self-employed, a very small one-man shop, really, consulting for what's left of our industry. I'm a mature fellow. I'm married. I have two children. And like a lot of Americans, I've been looking around lately and just wondering what in the world happened to America. What turned it into a zombie land?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What possessed you to write the book?
Mark, the tagline on your webpage says it as well as anything I could say as a writer. For evil to flourish, all it takes is for good men to do nothing. And too many of us, good, tax-paying, hard-working Americans, aren't doing very much. But there are people that can do a little bit more, and there are some people who can do a lot more. And I felt that I needed to step up and do more.
Very, very good. There are a lot of people doing that right now. I think if we're going to take this country back, as we like to say, it's going to take an army of citizen journalists, an army of people just like yourself who just wake up one day and say, you know what, I can't take this anymore. I've got to do something. You know, you don't want to be looking back 30 years from now and say to yourself, well, maybe if I'd have done something, you know, things would have turned out differently. Now, I notice, looking at the cover of the book, you got President Obama done up like the Joker, and I can't remember if it was Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, because in terms of comments accusing people of racism when no racism exists, they're pretty much interchangeable. But I believe it was Al Sharpton who said that this is just these pictures of Obama dressed up like the Joker all over the internet, or painted up like the Joker, is prejudiced, racist white people trying to put a black man in white face again. What's your comment on that?
Well, of course, there's no racism at all in Lost in Zombieland, and there certainly was none intended. The Obama Joker face arose pretty much spontaneously out of the Obamacare protests in 2009. There was originally a Middle Eastern student, an architecture student in a graphics arts class that came up with the Obama Joker face. They were applying the Joker face in his graphic arts class, and he took the Obama face off of a Time magazine cover, and he Jokerized it, and he put it on his photo holding website. And someone took it off that website, put socialism under it, and printed them up and started plastering them all over L.A. Well, it went viral after that. Mm-hmm. It went not only all over the nation, but all over the world. You had you could see that Obama Joker face in Japan, in Germany. People thought it was hysterical. And, of course, the protesters against Obamacare adopted that symbol and modified it. And you saw it on their protest signs that they paraded up and down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Sure, they put a stethoscope with it and painted him up a little bit like a doctor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There have been so many variations on that theme. But I didn't think I was doing anything particularly original. I did hire an artist to make it good and clean, and I had to take the official White House photo for the cover. Of course, I flipped the American flag upside down as a symbol of protest. Mm-hmm. But if you look at my Amazon.com website, you'll see the one stars that are there are people who just hate the idea of anybody objecting to anything Obama says. And they immediately come out with, you're a racist, you're a fascist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and these are people who haven't even read the book, and they certainly don't know anything about me.
Right.
I have a banner ad that is supposed to run next week, and I got an email back from the from the manager of the site saying that, hey, you know, last time we ran this, we got a lot of protests. Can you change the banner ad? So the liberals go, they go.
Was that due to the photograph or the title?
The Joker face.
Ah, please.
So that's all he asked me to change.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because, you know, if you search the net, there are pictures of Nancy Pelosi done up in that Joker face. There are pictures of Harry Reid in that Joker face. There are even pictures of George W. Bush in that Joker face. And it's kind of interesting that there is a completely different set of rules for Barack Obama when it comes to any type of satire, any type of ridicule. I think we all remember a CNN reporter just going crazy because somebody had painted Barack Obama up as Hitler, yet we saw several years prior to that someone pulled out the video where she actually got quite a chuckle out of George W. Bush being painted up that way. So there's a real double standard out there. I mean, there's an old saying, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. As far as I'm concerned, this is part and parcel of being president of the United States in a country where we still have freedom of speech, or at least I think we do, like America. And I brought that up not because I side with the people who say that face represents racism, but just because I wanted to give you a chance to respond to it.
Well, I understand, but that the image works on so many levels. Because the joke is on America, and let's face it, the Joker was a very effective, evil, bad guy against the good American Batman. What Obama has, he's actually a Trojan horse, and what people see is not what they get. That Joker face works on race levels as well, if you will. He's got a white face and a black heart. That's an Asian expression about how you deal with people in business. You present a very white, pure, honest, earnest face to them on the outside, but what your underlying motives are from your black heart. And
I'm glad you explained that was an Asian expression, because we would have been getting letters saying that was racist too.
I know it's anything you say. We are overly sensitive, way overly sensitive, hypersensitive in this country about racism and racialism. I remember just the other day I saw a Peanuts cartoon. Pigpen is coming up to Charlie Brown and he says Pigpen's all dirty and everything, and he says, "I like being black." And Charlie Brown says, "That's nice." And Charlie Brown says, "I like being right." And Pigpen says, "Racist."
Gee.
It is. In this country, there is a very strong anti-white, unfortunately, movement, and it's driven by the left.
I know that that's true, and you know I like to joke that I'm going to put out a reel, a YouTube video called "Beware of Whitey." Because if you haven't noticed, JT, whenever you watch television and they bring on a home security commercial or, you know, one of those insurance policies protecting against identity theft, it's always a white guy peeking through the fence at your family when you're not at home. It's a white guy who goes to the party uninvited, then comes back and kicks in the door. It's a white guy who digs through your trash to get your credit card numbers. And I was thinking, you know, knowing that all this stuff is also being beamed out into space, that somewhere, you know, a long, long time from now, many, many light years away from Earth, people are going to be looking at those commercials and saying, man, those white people in America were bad. Because every single commercial that involves anything to do with any type of security, it's a white person playing the bad guy, because we live in a society where it's just so sensitive to publicly acknowledge that black people commit a disproportionate number of crimes, and they do. I have no trouble saying that because I don't care what anyone thinks. But you just can't acknowledge that in any way. So all the white guys have to be the bad guys, or all the bad guys have to be white guys in these commercials. Now, the book is a work of fiction, so we want to make sure the listeners understand that. Give us an overview of the book, if you would.
Be glad to. The book, Lost in Zombieland, is based on two questions. Who is Barack Hussein Obama, and what is he really up to? And to this day, I hazard to say that at least half of the American people cannot intelligently answer that question. Who is Barack Obama and what is he really up to? About half of us Americans were able to see through him as soon as he managed to wrest the Democratic Party nomination away from Hillary, and he started to speak. It was really easy to listen to this guy and realize he's an empty suit. He has no experience that's applicable to the most powerful executive position in the world. He's a community organizer. He's never worked an honest day in his life. Famously, he's never run a lemonade stand. And he's running for the President of the United States, and people are swooning over him.
Mm-hmm.
So who is Barack Obama? That question has to be answered. And what is he really up to? Most Americans have no idea about his background, how he was raised, his early indoctrination, all of the people in his life from his earliest days who exposed him to a socialist, anti-American mindset. All the way, and I know of, and I graduated from high school in some pretty radical times. I mean, the Vietnam War protests were going on. But I never knew anyone who came out of high school as a socialist radical. And Obama did. And he went right into college and started associating with and looking for the communists and the socialist radicals to associate with. And that's where his mentality has come from. So I thought, how best to write a book that would defeat his purpose, other than just to explain who Obama is and what he's really up to. And it was his mentor, his figurative mentor, they never knew each other in life, Saul Alinsky, that gave me the key to it. And Saul Alinsky wrote, of course, the famous Rules for Radicals. That is Obama's Bible. He's campaigning using the Rules for Radicals today. And Alinsky's tactics rule number 5 is ridicule. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. It is almost impossible to counterattack ridicule. Also, it infuriates the opposition, who then react to your advantage. And I thought, I'll write a book using Alinsky's ridicule tactics rule as the political framework. And in that way, I'll be able to tell the American people in a book of fiction, in a satire, who Barack Obama is and what he's really up to.
JT, we're going to take a quick break, and we will continue when we get back.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part? Is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to teapartypowerhour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is teapartypowerhour.com. JT, whenever we went to break, we were discussing the book, and you were giving us an overview of the book. Go ahead and pick it up from where you left off.
Well, Lost in Zombieland asked the question, who is Barack Obama and what is he really up to? And I wanted to tell my story, tell the satire using his own words. Long before I started really even with the idea of writing the book, I pulled out a notebook and I started collecting the words from this administration. Every administration comes out with its own buzzwords to put spin on the English language. And I knew that this administration was going to be a gold mine of socialist agitprop, and I certainly wasn't disappointed. I started collecting Barack Obama's quotes and quotes from members of his administration. And it turned out that was a really useful thing to do because I was able to build a story around his actual words and deeds in the White House. In fact, chapter 17, which is titled Hope in Chains, is all about his speech in Kansas, Osawatomie, Kansas, on December 6, 2011, where he tells the American people to their face that American capitalism, the free enterprise system, doesn't work. It has never worked. It's not like we haven't tried this experiment. And then he goes on to discuss, in euphemistic terms, how he intends to replace our entire economic system with a socialist model.
And what was the date on that speech again, JT?
December 6th, day before the attack in Hawaii. But December 6th, 2011, Osawatomie, Kansas. You can get the entire. In fact, you should. Someone like you should really go through that speech, Mark, and analyze it, because the news media covered it up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. If you I will do that.
You will, and I'll read my chapter 17 on it, and you'll see where it comes from. It frightened the hell out of me to hear a president of the United States wagging his finger at the American people and telling us to our face what his plans are. And nobody was hearing it. At least the news media didn't jump on it. They were covering it up. And I use that as the trigger for the second, actually the first civil war in the United States, but a revolution that comes out of the grassroots, is led by the Tea Party, where the American people in the book Lost in Zombieland have enough of Barack Obama and rise up in protest to take the government back.
Okay, now, I understand it's a work of fiction, but you know as well as I do, a lot of people are speculating about a coming civil war, about a coming economic meltdown, about UN troops coming in and taking over the U.S. I mean, I get these emails all day long. Did you mean this to be somewhat prophetic or not?
Well, no, I don't mean it to be prophetic, and like you, Mark, I get emails from all over the world from people who are convinced that the plots are there and the bad guys are coming for us. No, I mean that what will happen if this kind of government, if socialist government persists in America, and our Congress and our judiciary fails to stop it, the American people will. It's just a matter of time until the American people say we've had enough. And we've done it before. It was 230 years ago, but we're fully capable of doing it again. No, Lost in Zombieland follows a different storyline, and this is one of two storylines in the book. And it's meant really to to act as a ray of hope for American people, because if our political system breaks down, the Founding Fathers gave us the means to remedy it.
Let me ask you some of the questions that you said only people in Barack Obama's inner circle know, but I suspect you have a suspicion or two about what the answer to these questions might be. You ask, do you think Barack Obama is a natural-born citizen based on Article 2 of the Constitution? What do you think, Mr. Hatter?
Well, I don't think he can be. By the definition, a strict reading of Article 2 of the Constitution, Section 1, he says his father is Barack Obama Sr., the Kenyan, and therefore he cannot be a natural-born citizen. Because the definition is that a person has to be born of two citizens at the time of his, who have to be citizens at the time of his birth. His father was never an American citizen. He was a Kenyan and a British subject. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let me ask you the question that really ticks liberals off. Do you think he's a native-born citizen?
I'm not sure what that means.
Sure. There are three levels of citizen. You have naturalized citizens. They come here from another country and they become American citizens. You have a native-born citizen who might have been born here, but one or two of their parents was not. So they're not natural-born. They're just native-born, meaning that they were born in the United States. And then you have natural-born, which means you're born in the United States of two parents who also have citizenship. So I'm basically asking you, do you think he was born in Hawaii?
I don't have any idea. Nobody knows this, and maybe if we got a look at his birth records, if it actually revealed him to a duly constituted court, then we could find out. I assume that he was born in Hawaii. I'm not a big fan of the he was born in Kenya theory, but he could have been. We don't know.
I don't know much about my background, you know, but I put together the evidence videos for Sheriff Arpaio. He's held two press conferences where he's filled the media in on how his probe into various Obama eligibility issues, not just the birth certificate, but many things. When he did these press conferences, I was hired to produce those videos and to narrate them, which I did. And I can tell you that I have no idea where he was born either. I mean, I just don't have the foggiest idea. But in producing these videos, I got to rub elbows with some very, very well-respected computer experts. They convinced me that the birth certificate has been altered. Now, the fact that it was altered doesn't mean he wasn't born in Hawaii, but it does mean he's hiding something. And, you know, who knows what that is. Also, his Selective Service Registration card is completely forged. The Cold Case Posse has basically gotten a hold of one of the U.S. postal stamps that was used to put a date on that thing. We know the postal stamp is fraudulent. The card that was filled out isn't even from the right decade. I mean, they did a horrible job forging the Selective Service card. Now, again, I just think the birth certificate was altered. But the Selective Service Card registration is 100% forged. Obama's got a couple of his minions at the Selective Service system that are covering for him right now, not complying legally with FOIA requests the way they should. I know that because mine was one of the ones that was turned down. But generally speaking, there's something up with this guy's documentation. He tried to go to Russia once when he was a U.S. senator, and they said his passport was suspicious. There was something suspicious about it, and it took the American ambassador in Russia to intervene so that he could enter the country. There's so much about him. We could know instantly where he was born if we looked at his mom's passport records to see if she left the country shortly before August of 1961 and when she got back. Guess what? The United States government accidentally lost those records. We could tell by looking at the plane manifests of planes landing in Hawaii about that time, you know, whether or not she came back from another country. Guess what? Of all the records in the United States for that particular year and that particular month, those are the only records that are lost. So the guy has document problems. I'll go on record. Forget about where he was born, but every single record that is necessary to support that cockamamie life narrative that he put forth in Dreams of My Father, or Dreams from My Father, rather, every single one of the documents has either been sealed like, you know, his school records, has been altered, has been completely forged, has been lost, or has been accidentally destroyed. It's really fishy. Now, again, I think he could have been born in Hawaii. I don't know what they were trying to cover on the card. It's on the birth certificate. It's not exactly clear when you look at the different layers, although I have my suspicions about exactly what was and wasn't changed. It's just really freaky, really suspicious that a guy who's the president of the United States, who promised to be one of the most transparent presidents of all time, has been the least transparent, don't you think?
Absolutely. You provided some really good groundwork on what the problem is with Obama's documentation record. You didn't even touch on Social Security numbers.
Yeah, I left that out, yeah.
Because there's so much you could say. I know you have. It's a radio show, and you've got to stop somewhere. But
actually, I just forgot that one. There's so many.
There are a couple of things that come to mind right away, and most people should wonder about this, is what is he hiding? Why can't we see his school records? Every president is required to produce their school records. He hasn't produced them. He refuses to produce them. He's covering them up. And the other question that a lot of Americans have is why hasn't there been an official congressional investigation? Why hasn't the Supreme Court intervened?
Let me jump in real quick, JT. In talking with Mike Zullo, who is the lead investigator in the Obama probe for Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona, he said that Sheriff Arpaio spent the better part of 6 months trying to convince someone in Congress to have a special prosecutor named, take this investigation out of his hands, make it a congressional investigation, and every single one of them said, John Boehner has already laid down the law and said this will not happen and this is not to be discussed.
Doesn't this sound familiar? Haven't we been through this before with Bill Clinton and Trent Lott?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is just amazing, and it is their constitutional duty to look into matters like this. And there has not been a single member of Congress to stand up, not a single Supreme Court member or federal judge to stand up and say the American people deserve to know who their commander-in-chief and their president is.
Well, now, a lot of people are critical of Orly Tates because she hasn't been victorious in court yet. But I just want to say for the record that the deck is stacked against her. I mean, she went into one courtroom. The judge didn't look at a single piece of evidence, but he fined her $20,000 for bringing a frivolous lawsuit. Now, how in the hell do you do that without looking at a single piece of evidence? I mean, that's amazing that a judge would do that. He was trying to send a strong message, stop doing this and stop doing this now. However, she, like the type of people you described at the beginning of the show, felt she needed to do something, and she continues to do so. Some of the similarities, let me give you some examples here real quick. I don't want to take all your time. We're trying to plug your book, but since we're on this topic, we had a press conference for Sheriff Arpaio back on July 17th. A guy from Channel 5 named Matt Lowe stands up. He's a reporter there, and he stands up first, and he says, "Why should any of us believe any of this? You know, you got a guy here, this investigator Zullo, who's made money on an e-book, and you got, you know, this other guy here who never met a conspiracy theory he didn't like." That was a reference to Jerome Corsi. "And why should any of us believe any of this?" So, you know, he starts attacking the background of Jerry Corsi and Mike Zullo. And I thought, well, you know, he's right. Background is important. So I decided to look into his. I called a private investigator, had a report run on him. And guess what? He was the past president and past vice president and still a director of a nonprofit organization that uses Perkins and Coy, Obama's law firm, as their registered agent. I don't think that's a coincidence. One of Orly Tates' lawsuits in California, she, and I don't recall the judge's name, but the judge said, "We're going to try this on the evidence. No one is going to get special treatment in my courtroom, even if they're the president of the United States. We're going to try this on the evidence." All of a sudden, his clerk quits, and his clerk is replaced by someone whose last stop before coming there to take that job was, you guessed it, Perkins and Coit. Okay? So if Obama's not worried about this, if he thinks the birther stuff is funny and that he doesn't have anything to worry about, why does he keep sending people in with connections to Perkins and Coit to, you know, run defense for him, you know, to run interference for him? I'll give you one more. The person in Hawaii, for the state of Hawaii, that is handling all of the inquiries, whether it was from Bennett in Arizona or whether it was whenever Mike Zullo went there, every time there is an inquiry about Obama's birth record, the attorney they trot out in the attorney general's office is a deputy attorney general named Jill Nagamini. When Maya Satoru got her divorce, guess who handled the case? It was a no, it wasn't Jill. It was her husband, who's also an attorney. So it's kind of interesting. You go to Hawaii, you've got Mrs. Nagamini, whose husband represents Obama's sister, who's, you know, doing all, running all the interference. When Mike Zullo went there, she was asked three times, is what they posted, is that log form birth certificate image posted at whitehouse.gov exactly what you turned over to Mr. Bauer, who, by the way, is an attorney with Perkins and Coit? And three times she refused to answer the question. So, I mean, everywhere you, everybody says, oh, Obama loves this. Obama loves this. He loves this issue. If he loves this issue so much, I don't think he'd be having his personal attorneys show up, you know, all over the country to make life more difficult for people who are trying to take a peek at his long-form birth certificate. So, I don't know. The whole thing just reeks. The whole thing just reeks, JT. Everywhere you go, there's somebody running interference or denying FOIA requests to protect this guy. It, you know, people say it's a conspiracy theory. I'm with Joe Arpaio on this. Who cares? People get, you know, thousands of people get arrested for conspiracy every year in America. Tens of thousands of people are in jail for conspiracy in America. Conspiracies do happen. That's why the laws are on the books. And I'm taking a lot of your time. Go ahead and finish up by saying anything you want to say about the book and tell people how they can get it.
Well, Mark, I have to say I agree with you. No, he has spent this, the birther issue scares the you-know-what out of the Obamas and his supporters. He spent $2 million to keep those records from the American people. I have a chapter in the closing chapters of my book titled The Supremes, and that's where the issue of his birth goes to the Supreme Court and gets decided. And I also talk about his response to it. Well, the book Lost in Zombieland is designed to be a hysterically funny satire, and many people say that it does. The comments I get back from people is that there were times I laughed out loud, laughed so hard I hurt, and there were times I wanted to cry because what you told us in this book was so true, and it's coming, and we see it coming, and we know what's in store if we don't do something about Obama and the entire left, the movement. One thing that your listeners can do, you can go to the Lost in Zombieland website. I've got a freebies page there. You can go on the freebies page and you can download three sample chapters. Of course, you can also go through the sample chapters on the Amazon.com site and read it. But in the freebies package, I've got a bundle of good things and good for patriotic Americans, and a special surprise for people who go there. I've also got a book video. I'm sure it's not as professionally produced as you would have done.
No, that's not true.
You've seen it. Look, the video's a hoot. People watch. It's 5 minutes long, and I'm getting great responses out of it. And people are watching the video, and they're buying the book. It's a good thing for people to go to YouTube, punch in and Lost in Zombieland, and enjoy the ride.
Fantastic. Now, if you could, and ignore those time warnings, we can go over that. If you could, explain the whole Amazon.com thing and how you can get a free electronic copy of the book on Amazon.
If you are a member of Amazon Select and you go on the Amazon.com site, you'll see the paperback, which is $9.05, or the Kindle option. And the Kindle option is normally it's $2.99, and today you'll see it's $0.00. It's free. So if you're a member of KDB Select, you can go and get the book free. The KDB also has another program. It's a book giveaway. I don't know how to access it, but I think if you Google Amazon.com KDB Select, and then put in Lost in Zombieland, you'll find a link to also get it free that way. I believe they distribute the notices for that through an email.
Don't worry about that.
Okay, but I think that patriotic Americans are going to enjoy this book for a couple of reasons. One, I had a riot poking fun at Barack Obama and the crew around him because he's surrounded by a cast of real characters, dedicated Marxists, most all of them. These people don't know how funny they are. But the other thing in the book is that what they're doing is very destructive. I noticed on your webpage that you've interviewed David Limbaugh.
Yes.
He's got a book, and he's gone into it, and he has documented how destructive the Obama administration has actually been. I believe you've interviewed Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't share his opinion that the roots of Obama's rage is the anti-colonialist mentality he got from his father. I believe it's the anti-American socialist indoctrination he received from his mother and Frank Marshall Davis.
I had Paul Kinger on the show, too, and I tend to side with Kinger's book over D'Souza's film and book.
Yes, Kinger... Well, they're both scholars, but they both come out from completely different directions, and we just don't really, in America, and Obama didn't, we don't have an anti-colonial mentality. We didn't go through the colonial wars that Europe went through in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And so it's just not something that is meaningful to Americans. But D'Souza did a wonderful service in producing that movie because he taught good lessons. He provided really good information to the American people about who Barack Obama is and what he's really up to.
Now, I would say that he did do a great job of letting us know who he is and what he's planning to do. Now, the underlying theory of it all being based on anti-colonialism might not be right, but that's why when D'Souza came on the show, I brought up a couple of things that Jack Cashel has pointed out about the book, but I pretty much went easy on him, and the reason for that is that I didn't feel we needed a family fight this close to the election, and I liked Dinesh. He came back on he was on originally when he released The Roots of Obama's Rage. I think he's doing a great service for conservatives by informing independents as to exactly what this guy is all about. Again, I don't think Obama's real father had much influence on his life at all. I would argue again that his mother, his grandparents, and Frank Marshall Davis, as well as some of his early Marxist friends and professors, had a much bigger influence, but the results are still the same. He's still doing the things he's doing, and he's still planning to do these things in his second term Dr. D'Souza suggested. So I think
I agree. I love D'Souza. He's missed the boat on this one. What Obama is he is a socialist revolutionary, and his plan is to transform America into a socialist state.
Mm-hmm. One last question, and then we actually will be out of time. You know, again, we talk about the potential for an American uprising, if you will. One of the things that is scaring the living daylights out of Americans right now are these huge ammunition purchases by various federal departments that normally don't purchase a lot of bullets. I mean, we're talking about the Social Security Administration, the Department of Education, I think even the Department of Energy, but I'll have to double check that one. And they say they're for target practice for various officers. They're buying hollow points. I'm no gun expert, but I have several guns, and I know darn well that I don't go target shooting with hollow points. Hollow points are meant for one thing, and that's to kill people. You can't use them in war. So why are they purchasing this stuff? It would seem that the government is expecting some problems as well.
Well, I do believe that if Obama does win a second term, we'll find out why they are buying those hollow points. And you're right. I also have guns and have had them all my life. And the 40 caliber hollow point is too expensive a round for target practice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very effective round. It's a round the Secret Service uses in their SIG 299s. That is the round that the Secret Service uses in the presidential protection detail. It's the most effective round you can buy for a handgun. If you get hit with it, you're going down. It doesn't matter where you get hit.
Absolutely, it's a bit of a decleater. As you know, if you can make a football reference, it's gonna the sheer force of it will knock you down. You're not gonna fall down because you were hit. You're gonna fall down because the force of that hit is so great, and it's just kind of frightening. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that Mitt Romney continues to do well in the debates, continues to make progress in the polls, and that we don't have to find out, Mr. Hatter. It is a pleasure, or it has been a pleasure, to have you here today. The name of the book is Lost in Zombieland, The Rise of President Zero by J.T. Hatter. J.T., thanks for being here.
Thanks, Mark Galar. You keep doing what you're doing. God bless America.
God bless America. Great way to end. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Galar.